Let's wrap up this 144th Psalm this evening and then move to the 145th Psalm. In brief, David, after asking the Lord through prayer to deliver him, and the implication also, the nation from the heathens, not allowing them to prosper, he requested that the Lord would allow the children of Israel to prosper, the sons and the daughters in particular. Used a vivid language, metaphoric language, that the sons would grow up strong and the daughters grow up beautiful, and that the granaries be filled to the full with all manner of crops. That's verse 13, in addition to an abundance of sheep that would fill the streets. And in verse 14, he also requested that there would be an abundance of oxen, and that, let's just say for the lack of getting into any greater details, that the oxen would be tame, so to speak, that they wouldn't break out, run amok, kill people, because they would do that. There was specific commandments given in the Old Testament about what happens if an ox actually killed someone. So there's specific instructions about that. So the implication, obviously, it happened. So he prayed that the oxen would not do it, and that no one would have to take any because there'd be so many of them. And then he concluded by saying, happy is that people. That people is a specific people. The context is clear. That people is Israel. That is, in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. So the people who would experience this blessing should rejoice, not only in having peace, but in knowing that the Lord did it. And with the obvious understanding that God is the God of Israel, that he chose them to be his special people. As I said last time, I know that the New Testament references the fact that God has chosen a people, namely the church, which comprises Jews and Gentiles from all over, but we're talking about a literal nation that was given a literal land. I don't see anywhere where anyone in the church prayed for land, because there was no land given to the church. The land was given to Israel, and the Jews knew it, and we should know because we get to read their record. We don't need to confuse this. Peter talked about that we are a royal generation. He quoted from the Old Testament. He quoted from a passage that referred to Israel. But when he used the passage, he's talking about the church in a spiritual sense. He's not talking about a land. Do you know where the church's land is? Is there a nation called the church that's somewhere in America? I'm not talking about the Vatican, that nonsense. I'm talking about the church. No, God created Israel. Okay, so there is no church land. And it's not talking about your little property you brought and built your big building or little building, and then you named it fill in the blank church. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a literal nation, and that was, and for the future will be, Israel. We looked at Psalm 33:12, which says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. That could only refer to Israel. That can't refer to the church. Again, we're talking about land. The context talks about that. That speaks of Israel. God has never chosen any other nation other than Israel, in spite of the fact that Americans try to lay claim to some myth that God chose them. No, God did not choose the United States of America. That's nowhere taught anywhere in the Bible. God did not choose Islam, or China, or Buddha, or whatever. God chose Israel. That's the only place in the Bible that the Lord has chosen to be his people. The Bible. Okay, that's all I'm concerned about. You can make up a whole lot of stuff as you go along, but I'm interested in what the Bible teaches. So any attempts to claim that God has chosen America or any other nation on the face of the earth is foolishness of the absolute sort without any scriptural support whatsoever. I know about the history of America. I think there's some rumor that I've been teaching about the history of America. Fine. And there's no doubt that great awakenings and the revivals that begin really in England spawn the kinds of reverence that the nation used to have for God. But God never chose America. There is no other nation that God has chosen. People like to think that he has, but where's the proof of that? You don't see it today, I guarantee you that. Let's go to Exodus 19. I'm just going to keep looking at passages again to support the fact that that people is Israel. And that's important. You know, because I said some time ago, I think when people read the Bible, they try to de-Jew the book, so to speak. They try to extract Israel and the Jews out of the Bible. And they pretty much put themselves in the Jews' place. And there's a lot of movements that are doing just that. You know, you read all the promises in the Old Testament, which are clearly to Israel. And you extract Israel out of the promises and put your own name there. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not for you. Okay, all the blessings of the land and the blessings of the sheep and the blessing of the ox and the blessing of this, that's for Israel. Any dunce can read that. I mean, please, this is, I don't understand. Anybody with a functioning brain who understands anything about context can see this. This is not difficult to understand. Not at all. Exodus 19:3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob. Any misunderstanding where this message is to go to? Okay. And tell the children of Israel. It's not you, it's not me. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Did you? No, we weren't there. We get to read the record, but we can't see, or say rather, we have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. We can read about it, but we weren't there. And he's not talking about people who read it. He's talking about people who experienced it, who were there, who were not only involved in the miracle, but became an inherent part of what was going on. They were there. And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. That didn't happen to us. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. God said, I'm going to raise you above all nations on the face of the earth. You look at how the nations of the earth treat Israel. They want to bring them down to the ground. They want to bring them to extinction. But God says, I'm going to raise you up. And that has spawned so much hatred of the Jewish nation because of that. But that's God's doing. God raised Israel up. God has protected Israel and wiped out multitudes of nations and people who tried to take out Israel. I don't have any doubt in my mind at all that God is going to protect Israel, because the evidence bears clear witness that God has been doing just that. God said, you're going to be a peculiar treasure, but you have to obey my voice and my covenant. You're going to be a peculiar treasure to me above everybody, because the earth is mine. I can do what I want with it. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Well, obviously, see, Peter said, see, you're not listening. You're not listening. Got all that stuff going in your head, but it's not paying attention. We're not talking about Peter right now. We're talking about what God said to the children of Israel. Learn to focus. Read what it says. Stop trying to put your own brain. You ain't that smart. None of us are. And listeners either. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the who? Didn't say anything about the church. Or you and your promise keepers, or promise Bible, or promise pamphlet, or promises, or whatever. It's talking about a specific promises to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 7. It's amazing how people just de-Jew the Bible. They just de-Israelite the Bible. And they put themselves there. God made me a promise. No, he didn't. If these promises are specifically to Israel, you ain't there. You don't have them. And you're not going to get them. I don't care what some fool fooled you to believe. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the what?
To the land.
To the land. Now what land is that? Greater Light Baptist Church? You know, come on. This isn't difficult to understand. And there's no doubt in my mind that people take these passages and de-Israelize the Bible. De-Jew the Bible. As if they don't even count anymore. I've warned us about the danger of treating this as a Gentile work. I sure did. I think that, as I said my reasons behind it was I think there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the church. I do. In the organized church, I believe there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the church. They try to extract everything Jewish out of a Bible and make it all their own. That's not accidental, and neither is that a minor issue. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee. Now tell me if you ever encountered any of the following people. Because if you have, then this applies to you. But you wouldn't be sitting here, and you'd be long dead if this applied to you. I wouldn't be talking to you. You wouldn't be here unless you'd be just a bunch of bones or dust sitting there on the couch. Have you in an urn somewhere in a box. And you couldn't answer me anyway. The Hittites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Anyone ever see any of these people? Nope. Because it doesn't apply to you or to me. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them. Well, have you killed any of them? No. Because you weren't given a commandment. And utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriage. Have you married any of the aforementioned folk? No? No relatives or Hittites or Gergesites or Jebusites or Hivites? Some act like Canaanites, but that might be just acting more than it is reality because you're not a part of it. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughters shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly, quickly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. That's what God told Israel to do. Because if he didn't want Israel to do it, that means he wants you to do it according to you. And you ain't doing it, because you couldn't find these people if you wanted to. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Well, that's obviously Israel, is it not? It's not the church. That's a whole separate issue. You don't de-Jew and de-Israel the Bible because you don't like it. I don't like that either. You know, God made Israel above. I don't like it. I can't say why God did this with Israel. They were so disobedient. So were you. For being stupid enough to question what God is doing with Israel. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. That's it. Why do you think he chose you unto salvation? Same reason. Not because you are better, smarter, cuter, any of that, just because he loved you. Back to the text. Because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers. Did your father make an oath with God? No, don't. I know mine didn't, and I know yours didn't either. He wasn't talking. He didn't come and visit you. Okay, yours ain't Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I ain't that old. Hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen? Were you ever slaves in the land of Egypt? Did you know Pharaoh, king of Egypt? How many Negroes have taken these passages and what's called spiritualized, which is nothing but butchering the text to apply, well, as the Lord delivered Israel from the Pharaoh and Egypt, he delivered the Negro race from the slavery. No, he didn't. That has no parallel, zero. And it's not, you know, to make me popular with the Negro crowd, because I'm not interested in being popular. I want to rightly divide the word of God, which is what we're all commanded to do anyway. That's why the idea of trying to, you know, we not only de-Jew and de-Israelite the Bible, we Negro the thing. We're supposed to be the new Israel. I'm not Israel. All the promises the Lord gave to Israel, he gave it to the church, most specifically the black people. That's a bunch of nonsense. Anybody would teach some stupidity like that should be kicked out of the street. And everybody believing such nonsense knoweth not the Lord. How about Deuteronomy 14? It's important for us to know the Bible. You know, Pastor, if you keep saying that stuff, you know what? I am been weary for a very, very long time. And it's become apparent, I guess I'm just going to have to suffer this till I get to heaven. I am tired of people who just simply will not take a stand for the truth. I can't tolerate it. And this isn't an issue of trying to decide something, you know, whether it's pre, mid, or post-tribulation. We're talking out and out denial of what the text is saying, and we've been doing it and passing the same lie down to generation after generation, and countless millions of people are being deceived, and deception leads to judgment. And people are afraid to take a stand. I don't like dealing with people who are afraid. Just take a stand. You're supposed to take a stand for the truth. This is not an option. God did not save people with the option. You know, you might take a survey. You got the option, you know, well, if it's A, blah, 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 B, blah, 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 C, blah, blah, or B, not applicable. Well, there's no non-applicable with God. There's no other. And so in particular the ministry, but it's across the board, I really don't particularly care to be around people that don't know how to take a stand for anything. They stand with the world and they stand in fear, but they won't tell the truth. And I'm just tired of them. They're worthless. They can't minister to anybody. They can't enhance someone's life spiritually. And so, you know, I'm up here to be mean and that's fine. That's fine. I'd rather appear to be something I'm not. Okay. And that being appear to be mean and I'm not, than to appear to know something I don't. Okay. I'm not going to run around acting like, well, this doesn't refer to Israel. To make you happy, to make someone else happy, to make Negroes happy, as if that was my sole responsibility on the planet Earth, to make Negroes, blacks, colors, African Americans, whatever you want to call us, happy. I don't live for that. And you have to take a stand. And that means you're going to take a stand that's going to make you unpopular, not with your family, but with a whole bunch of folk. And you may never have to experience that because, you know, you're not in the public eye. Well, too bad. That's part of the business that comes with this. You're going to say things because it's the truth that you're projecting. People don't want to hear it. And you don't have a right to change it. It's not talking about Negroes. It's talking about Israel. Verse 1 of chapter 14, you are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. There is no land called Negro or black or colored or African American. There is no land called that. And if there is, I don't want to go there. And it's definitely not Africa. Second Chronicles 7. I want to go through all these passages, no matter how long it takes, because, you know, I like making sure that when I'm finished with this, anyone hearing this, if they dare even ask me to try to say something different, you know, I really just blow them up. I don't want to hear it. Second Chronicles 7. It's ridiculous. When it's clearly speaking of Israel. Happy is that people. That people is Israel. Verse 12. And the Lord appeared unto who?
Saul.
Didn't say you and me? Didn't say your pastor? It didn't say your favorite television evangelist or spokesperson? Solomon. I think he's connected to Israel. The real Israel years ago by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and I've chosen this place to myself. Well, what place was that? It was the temple. Okay, for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. If my people, which are called by my name, who are the my peoples? It sure ain't colored, folk. The Bible said, Farway used to quote this all the time, and there are many times. I just want to throw the Bible at him. Or stand up, Dr. Farway, please stop quoting this verse out of context. Now, you know you ain't Solomon. And nobody else here is. And you know, Dr. Farway, you are the chancellor of a Bible college, a Bible institute, well-known all around the world, and you keep I've heard Stanley do it. I've heard so many people do this stuff. And Stanley didn't know. Oh, bravo. They all clapping. And he preached a good political sermon. He quoted 2 Chronicles 7:4. He was clapping and all happy. And I'm going, it's incredible how people are just so stupid. You know what that equates to? Listening for nothing. If I tell you this passage means something other than what it means, you just wasted your time. Because it does. If I tell you it means something, it doesn't mean, I just lied. And you've wasted your time. You heard nothing. What you heard was a lie. You didn't hear what you need to hear, which was the truth. So you wasted your whole time. If I tell you it refers to America or any other nation, and it doesn't, then you just wasted your whole time. You can clap like a seal all you want. It doesn't matter. Because until you know what it means, you'll never know how to apply it. And I don't mean apply it to you. And it's just, well, you know, we are a nation, you know, Pastor, we are a nation, and, you know, our nation began with God, and blah, blah, blah. We are celebrating the birth of his son tomorrow, aren't we, Pastor Howard? No and no. Because there is no land associated with America or the church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin. And he used to say, "I heal it real quick," because the thinking person goes, "What land is he talking about?" Anybody with a brain has to ask that question. Well, what land is God talking about here? Their land. That's a specific people's land. Well, who is he talking to? We'll give you a clue as to whose land he's talking about. He's talking to Solomon. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. From now I've chosen and sanctified this house. Okay, that's the temple in Jerusalem, which is the capital of what?
Israel.
Not the New Jerusalem Baptist Church or the New Heaven Methodist Assembly. That my name may be there forever, mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Psalm 135. Tell you this stuff. That's why you have to go through the Bible. That's why you have to go through it. And it should be the most important thing we do. You know, I look back at my worthless life and I'm thankful. 53. So you take a 32 from 53, what do you get? So for 21 years of my life, I wasted it. In the wasteland of sin and iniquity. Okay. So the bulk of my life has been teaching the Bible. Now it's clear I haven't been in a hurry to do it. So I can take those, you know, 32 years and triple it and still would be disappointed at you know, the amount of what I missed going through the Bible if I was so privileged to have that many years, you know, to be 118. It's just astonishing. You know, the bulk of my life has been teaching the Bible. The bulk of my life has been watching the church just implode. It's just madness. The bulk of my life has been teaching the Bible. Somewhere in this world, every day, the word is being preached from this big, dumb black preacher. How can I not be thankful for that? You have no idea how thankful I am. I mean, God could have snuffed my behind out and the angels would have sang the Hallelujah chorus, been right in doing it. I'm not in a hurry to just, you know, if we took another 10 years to do the last five Psalms, so be it. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm not in any hurry because you have to go through the Bible. The point is you have to go through it to finally understand this thing. I know everything's got to be quick today. You know, we used to write. People used to have ink wells. Well, before that, they had to, you know, we laughed at the Flintstones, but a lot of that stuff, you know. Okay. Meet the Flintstones. He's, you know, clanking out that menu and all that. Hey, had to chisel all that stuff out. People used to chisel their stuff. Or write on animal skins. We had to catch the animal. Could you imagine you catch the animal? You not only kept meat, you kept the right stuff. And papyri and you know, making, I won't call it paper. People call it paper. It's not real paper. But they were right. They would make material to write out of plant residue, reed residue, whatever. Plant material, refuse. Let's just go back to the inkwell. Yeah, he's dipping. That takes a long. I'd use one of those. That'd drive you crazy. We just had to do it because someone gave me that as a gift years ago when I was a kid. And I love the way it wrote. But, you know, you really didn't know because the pen sopped up the ink. And so if you had a tendency like I did to write on a steep angle, all ink would come out. So you write big old blob of ink. So it's like, you know, this ain't for Harley. I'm gonna fling this stuff outside, so I threw it away. You know, but people used to have to write, and so it was long and tedious. I still have some of my original notes on a big yellow pad. I was looking over them the other week, just laughing at all this. I used to write this stuff by hand. There was no computer, no typewriter. Yeah, take your time. There's no log. I should have all the books all over the floor. You know, one in your hand, all over the tables. You'd be surrounded by books. You go, which book? You had no numbering system. You had to really study and dig. You know, where's that book at? It's right there. You got, where's the book? It's like I was going, where's my Bluetooth headset? It's on your head, stupid. I'm looking 20 minutes trying to find the Bluetooth. Yeah, I didn't tell you this. It's on my head. I'm looking on my coats. No, looking in the car. Where's the thing at? On your head. We had to write. And then there came the typewriter. Oh, happy days. You know. But we didn't have access to it. That was only in high school and junior high. You had to take typing class. We couldn't afford no typewriter growing up. It wasn't that readily available anyway. And you had the IBMs, and you had this and that, the corrective. What was the IBM correctable typewriter called? It was a different name to that. Smarty pants. But we had the correctable typewriter, Selectra, that's what it was. And it was, I made a mistake. You can take out a word, you can take out a letter, a whole sentence. Oh, man, you can type fast. I made a mistake. Okay, take and just didn't even care. Then the PC. Everything's fast. The advanced age is fast. And I have software. I haven't used it because it's a pain. But I'm sure that the software is advanced now where you can just put a mic to your head and just talk. And it'll spell out the words and the exclamation. Talk, who? It'll be talk with exclamation point. So you can speak your entire whatever, and you know, the first versions came out, I was like, you had to keep going back all the time. Like, look, let me just go back to my hunt and pick and be, because this is crazy. Point is, everything has advanced so fast. We try to apply the speed to things that don't require it. If you listen, there are some things that are good. Speed is good in a lot of areas. Okay. I prefer driving as opposed to walking. If I want to go to the store, I prefer driving. If I have to go to Costco or Sam's, okay, I think it'd be more fruitful to drive than walk. Not only because of the distance, but because if I'm carrying anything more in the bag, it's going to be a problem. Because they're not going to let me take the shopping cart all the way up from Brookhurst, you know, all the way home, and then bring it back next time I go. No, they're going to lock me up if they catch me. So I can drive a lot quicker than walking that cart. Speed is good. Speed is good in different applications. But speed is not always good for all applications. You understand what I'm saying? Speed is good in a lot of things. You know, it used to be a time where planes had propellers. That was your airliner. Fly a long time to get to New York. You made a whole lot of stops. It beats walking and driving the Greyhound, but it's still slow. Okay, then you had the first jet engines out in the 50s. Late 50s, early 60s. Design was, you know, well after the war in particular, but jet passengers, what have you, all that 50s, 60s. And you could fly. Now, you know, forget the props. They were still around and they would still take you. But if you had the money, honey, you can get on that jet. It has slow engines. It was faster than the props. But speed was a better application. Now, these jets are, you know, super duper fast. They can hold hundreds of people, 500, 600, 700 people. Some of these big giant jumbo jets like a flying city. Almost. And you know, back in the days, the railroad, that you want to drive, you want to take them railroads? Now you got bullet trains and you got the Amtrak, if it don't fall off the track. Amtrak, you know, you know, on track, that's what they all call on track. Amtrak, and yeah, faster, more advanced technologies and transportation and computers and food prep and so many applications. But there are some applications that do not enhance itself with speed. And the greatest application of time, slow time, is Bible study. There's just too many people who think we can just take every application that is fast and that allegedly enhances our whatever and throw it on a Bible. And that's what you have, Bible light and Bible none. So I've had 32 years to watch all this nonsense. So when I speak about I ain't changing, I'm not changing. 32 years to watch this craziness, to watch the madness of people who have gotten lazy with the most important thing in the universe, and that's their Bibles. You know what speed, listen to me, you know what speed has advanced? Listen to me, you know what speed has advanced them to do? Get so busy, they have no time for the Bible. That's what speed has done. They've applied so much fast to their lives, they got no time for God. You know why? Because to know God's word is slow cooking, and we don't like slow. So if you 99 times fast, 99% fast, well, I'm sorry, you can't apply fast to God, and I guess God just have to wait because I'm fast. Everybody's applying all the, and we don't even think about it. And so we do what Leo Laporte was talking about, as I gave you that foolish illustration about him saying we don't need teachers per se. We need to teach children critical thinking. My thinking was you need to teach children how to think. That takes time. That takes practice of teaching them what to think about, subjects that matter, you know, particular history and other things like that. But the problem is we have applied all these speed advancements to the subject of the Bible. Now we have crib notes and cliff books and Bibles for Dummies. Yeah, there's a Bible for Dummies book. Because people, too, and it's not a bad book if you want it as a reference work. But I just rather have the Bible, frankly. I didn't say it was a good work. I just said it's okay. It's not a perfect work. It's okay. It, you know, tell you basics or what have you. But I wouldn't have it. I looked at it. From what I saw, it was okay, but I wouldn't have it in my library. Okay, I got Nutrition for Dummies. I got Sleep for Dummies. And How to Be a Dummy, I guess. I got a few dummy books. But I ain't never going to put no Bible for Dummies in my library. Because that would be an indictment against my life. Because that's just for lazy people. You know, you can't keep applying fast to everything. Because if everything you apply speed to, something's got to give. Okay, something's going to be left behind if everything ain't fast like you. Okay, folks fast, their yard gets unkempt. So what do they do? Tell me, what do they do? When they can't take care of the yard, what do? They hire gardeners. So they ain't doing it. You know why? Because it takes time. You got to be slow. I've ridden those power motors. My dad was, we used to make us go out there with the non-power. Every Saturday. Oh, we hate our hands are just raw. That'd be like this all Sunday. Oh, mommy, you know, get out of. And then they got a little money, got the power, you know, the gas motor. We just run around there. And then Dad one day decided that was too much for him. And he wanted to get too fast, and mowing the lawn was just too slow. He got a rider mower. And he probably rode that thing three times. He was so doggone lazy. Okay. He was fast in other areas, but it got to a place where if you fast, something's going to be neglected. So he neglected it. The thing rusted right in one spot. He was too lazy to put the cover on it. So people that don't want to paint their houses, what do? You know, Wagner Power Painter is good. It will definitely advance your ability to paint. But, you know, 3 hours compared to eight, it's still a slow process either way. This one's faster than the other. But painting your house it takes time. So what do when they don't want to do it? They hire someone to do it. All right. We don't want to change all. It means we got to get a dolly, got to get under there, got to crawl, got to break the wrench. Nah, nah, nah. It takes time. So what do? Come on. Go to Jiffy Lube. Jiffy. What's this one down the street over here? Easy Lube, Jiffy Lube. What's the one? Oh, what is that? We've been there forever. We'll figure it out by 2 a.m. We'll come to it. Anyway, you go to Lube and Tube, you go to whatever, and you know, it's all, so whatever is, you and I have a mentality, okay, there are things I can do to quick. And that means my life has been programmed to do fast, quickly, quickly, quickly. So if I don't do that, or if I'm doing that rather, and this is how my life is just going, quickly, I got so much to do. You want it done quickly. That means something that takes time gets neglected. That's one of the reasons why so many people don't want a Bible. They don't want Bible study. Bible study takes time. Well, passive, I gotta go. We'll go. Go find a fast church and be stupid. Find a fast preacher. They're out there, give you what you want. And you get leanness to your soul. It's going to take years. In fact, you know, it's going to take your life to learn this thing. And if you don't want to learn it, hey, no sweat off my brow. 32 years, I'm still learning the thing. I feel like the more I know, the less I know. And I know a whole lot more than quick folk. That's for sure. Everything so fast. And the things that are important that take time get neglected. That's just the way life is. But who's saying these things? Now, we all experience it, but who's saying it? The things that matter, that take time, get neglected. And if this gets neglected, this Bible gets neglected, listen, there is nothing in your life that is more profitable and than taking the time to study. But if you neglect this, there is nothing more damaging and destructive to your life. Nothing that could be worse for your life than fast Bibles. And we got them by the dozen. 1 minute Bibles, 5 minute Bibles, 10 second Bibles. Notes, cards, you know, flashcards, everything but study. Everything, and then get the flashcard that says study, show yourself approved unto God. We gonna memorize that. The flashcard, study yourself approved. Work me the other shame. Rise by the word of truth. What's the next card say? Next card says, big black priest said you're a fool for just violating the word of God, reading the previous card. That's not a part of the scripture cards. Well, it is now. I put it there. He just takes it on the stage. Well, go get the fast preachers. They out there. Stupid people. Where were we at? Did we finish Psalm 35? Verse 3. Well, I got to tell it like it is, keeps it real, and put it there where we understand it. Now, I guarantee you, we all understand what was said about slow and fast. You can get your Denny Moore, right? Go to get Kennedy, pop, zip, 5 minutes later, you got beef stew. Right? Ain't never taste like stuff you made on your own. You can't touch the ingredients anymore. Hey, it's already, whatever it is. You can just doctor up, mess it up. But if you want to make beef stew, it's going to take some time. You got to go buy the meat. You got to figure what you want. You got to do some thinking. How many onions you want? What kind of onions? You want potatoes? What kind of potatoes? What kind of potatoes go good with beef stew? You're going to pressure cook it? You're going to crock pot it? You're going to boil it? That takes time. Which beef stew mix you're going to use? And you want a good pot. Because you don't want to just waste all that time and effort and money and just grab the Denny Mo out the cabinet. Yeah, well, at least I got something. And give that to the dog. Give yours to the dog. He walk away from it. Bite you for bringing it out there. You can get Denny Mo all you want. Bam! They got 1 minute Denny Mo now in the plastic. Just put it. Bloop! Ready. Or you could take your time and do it right. So it just depends on what you want. If you want things fast, that's great. Computers, fast computers are great. I remember having a 286. I could, right now, if I had a 286 computer, I can click a button to function something and go shopping, have lunch, play racquetball, get the car wash. That could take about 8 hours to come back. The application still be loading on the 286. That's how slow the things were. We could click and go get fixed lunch. Then come back. Is it working? Not yet. It was like 30%. Okay, let's go, you know. And we had that during church family fit. We had the stuff online, you know, like, and then we had online. 14.4. And the words are so slow. So speed on a computer is great. You can only apply speed to certain applications. Some applications you will ruin by putting speed to it. And the most ruinous thing you'll do to the most important thing you do is your Bible. You made your point, preacher. Move to the verse. Verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord had chosen who? Jacob. Jacob ain't you. Well, my brother's name is Jacob. It ain't talking about him either. Okay. And who?
Israel.
I know a lot of Latin folks named Israel, but ain't talking about them either. First peculiar treasure. Okay. Psalm 147. We ain't even there yet. And if you don't get this, you know, I can't help you. Nobody can help you. Because what I said was plain enough, but it's going to get shown up plain in a second. Psalm 147, verse 19. He showeth his word unto who? And his statutes and his judgments unto what? Or who? Israel. Okay. Now, here we go. And this is the seal of meal right here. He had not dealt with so with any nation. He had not dealt so with any nation. That includes the U.S. of A. And I love the United States of America. I am a firm patriot of this country. I will defend this country to the death. I love this country. But he ain't talking about us. Except for us to repent. God commanded men everywhere to repent. Now that applies to us. Okay? We ain't figured that one out yet. He had not dealt so with any nation. Other implied. Any nation. Any other nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. They who? Any other nation. God only gave Israel these commandments. This is so simple. Isaiah 44. This is incredible how this stuff just gets ignored. Don't act like there are movements that are literally taking the Jews out of the Bible. How do you take the Jews out of the Bible when it's written to them? What part of the Bible are you going to have if you take them out? The index? The cover sheet? And the back flap? They all in the thing. Paul said, I'm an Israelite. Who is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and his brothers and sisters? Who are the patriarchs? They're not Negroes and Americans and Afrikaners and Europeans and Muslims. Those are Jews, for crying out loud. My goodness. And when Jesus became a man, who was he? The ultimate Jew. You gonna dismiss him too? People need to shut their mouth. I remember this lady in high school when the black stuff was full for throwing up their right fist, hating everything white. And I knew nothing about the Lord. And we had that back to black to whatever class, and folk, red, black, and green, they were coming in. Now, these were nice kids a week before. They come all dressed up, you know, us coloreds back then, Negroes, whatever. We, you know, we came to school, we, you know, how you doing, good morning, what's happening, you know, we got the, what it is, and throwing up our hands, and doing a dap, and all that stuff. And this woman, she talked to me about, I think 25, 30 years ago. I don't know how she found me, but she did. But she made this statement in class. Oh, she was radical. And it was amazing because she was never like that. And she's all radical with her Angela Davis afro and her dark glasses, her revolutionary, you know, baubles and beads and stuff. You know, how much she hated white people and how much the Jews or she was talking about how the Jews did this. And I said, you know, this little old man, little old Harley, little scared little child, wouldn't hurt a fly, weighed about 10 pounds back then, introverted to the max. I was scared of everybody. If I talked to a girl and said, hi, I think I'd faint. I was just scared, just this meek, mild-mannered reporter. I said, Jesus was Jewish. That ended the whole thing right then and there. That ended the whole conversation. All that ended that day. That's all I said. It just came out. It just came out of me. I didn't know. I didn't know. I just said, Jesus was Jewish. That's it. People just started scattering. Went back to social studies. I said, tell him, is Jesus Jewish? Okay. Well. Isaiah 44. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Jeshurun is Israel. I think it's clear that when David said, happy is that people that is in such a case, ye happy is that people whose God is the Lord, he ain't talking about nobody other than Israel. I think that's clear. And it's very clear. You say, well, why is that important? It's important because it colors the entire Bible. It's amazing how, and I've taught this when I talked about in Matthew, where I talked about the latter times. I talked about that, how everybody seems to ignore the fact that it's talking about the Jews. And we shall see the, you know, desolation, flee to the mountains. Well, who and what mountains? And if it be on the Sabbath day, why would that be important? Who is the Sabbath day important to? And I talked about this. You just can't dismiss it. You see, the abomination of desolation, constellation. The abomination of desolation. Run. Stop what you're doing and run. Well, who is he talking to? The whole context is Israel. Today we got it the church. We have it, you know, some churches, denominations, some people who sold all their goods and, you know, put on white robes and gave them to their leaders. They think that's them. Your understanding of the fact that this book was written to the Jews primarily colors your entire understanding of the Bible. You de-Jew it and de-Israelite it and you got garble. It's just a makeup coloring book at that point. Just fill in the blanks. Claim your whatever. And you be wrong too. You cannot dismiss the Jews from the Bible. And people are doing it all the time. All the time. They by ignoring the context. I told you about life application of the Bibles that take passages that specifically are given to a certain group or certain people, and they apply it to you as if there's no context anywhere. Like, wait a minute, that's not... Listen, you can have an application, but only if you interpret the passage correctly. And if there is a direct application to you, that's one thing. You can say certain principles about, well, let's see, what we just read. And I guess I'm not going to get into Psalm 145. Okay. All of what we saw about God choosing Israel, God choosing Israel, God choosing Israel, God choosing Israel. What is application for us? The Lord chose us. You know why we can say that? Because there is a direct relationship between these passages and 1 Peter. Okay? But I can't claim no land. Okay? I can't even claim to be a peculiar people chosen above all the nations. No. What did Peter say? You are a royal generation. Okay? What did he say? Royal generation. Let's go. Let me get the verse. Royal priesthood, rather. Chosen generation. I'm talking so fast. Talk about fast application. Chosen generation. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. Peculiar people. People for God's own choosing. That you should show forth the praise of him who chose you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Who before were not a people, but now the people of God, etc. I can make that claim because that's what it says. There is direct correlation between these passages and what Peter said. So I can say there is a direct application. But Peter didn't say anything about a land. He didn't say you were chosen of all the peoples of the nations of the earth. You can only claim what the Bible says. Do you understand that? We just can't make stuff up. So I could say there is a direct correlation between what these passages state in the Old Testament and to the fact that we are chosen as the church of Jesus Christ out of all races and colors and what have you. But that has no bearing upon the fact that Israel is a chosen nation, specifically with a specific land, with specific blessings that the church doesn't have. You have to study this stuff. We just can't make stuff up as we go along. And that's what people do. In spite of the fact that there is clearly a nation with a specific land, people take these passages wrong. Listen, I've heard it. I already told you about Jerry and others. They take 2 Chronicles 7:14. Stanley did it too, and others. And they completely ignore what the Bible says in Peter about being a royal generation, et cetera, chosen generation, et cetera. Ignore it. Because that's the only thing you can extract from this. You can't claim these things. If my people, and that my people is a church, that's not what it's saying. Who are called by my name? Well, who are they? That's Israel. We could spend a whole hour on that. That's why it's important to study. I know it was long and tedious in these passages, but it's for a specific reason. And somewhere, somebody would go, I'm glad he did it. Because we need to see it. We need to see it in the simplicity of that. Because you can't de-Jew the Bible and understand the Bible. And that's nothing but anti-Semitism big time, as well as a denial of the truth itself. Everything you learn about the Jews in the Bible colors your whole understanding about it. You know, when you talk about scribes and Pharisees, don't people take that and they go, well, you're a Pharisee. What do you know about a Pharisee? You understand? What do you know about a scribe? If you know nothing about Jewish culture, how could you possibly know anything about it? Or the temple. Well, the temple, the church. See, we don't even study what these things mean. We just make it up. Temple, church. Because the Bible say the temple is a church. I'm going, oh, golly, Miss Molly, these people don't get it. The Pharisees like some folk in the church. No, dunce. The Pharisees aren't like some folk in the church. The Pharisees are a group of people. Or were a group of people. The scribes, the Essenes. You anything about the Essenes? What about the Herodians? The Sadducees. These are all important groups in a Jewish relationship. Why do you think people are running around talking about they don't know whether to worship God on a Sunday or Saturday or Wednesday or Friday or make up your own day? They don't know what they're doing because they keep applying speed to the Bible, so they don't bother to sit down and read the whole thing and study the whole thing. They don't want to take the years it takes to do it. Why do you think the church is so confused about tithing? There's no confusion. You know why people are tithing? Because they're ignorant of the Old Testament. That's why they're tithing. Because some dumb, lazy preacher who's too lazy to tell them what it means because he doesn't know anything about tithing tells people to tithe. And he's got the same Bible everybody else does. He can read the same thing I've read and wrote a whole 40 pages about New Testament, Old Testament giving. And it is specifically with tithing. It's nothing but taxation to the Jews. It was given exclusively to them. There's no doubt about this right in the Bible. But they're hoping for sheer, unadulterated, pandemic ignorance of the church. And they're getting it. Because fast Bibles and famous preachers don't study. They don't know. Every time I hear Charles Stanley talk about tithing, I feel like throwing up. Because I know he knows better. And everybody doing that stuff, they know better. They know what's in here. But they got that tradition down so tight. You better not tell the folk to give according to the Spirit. that tithing was taxation to the nation of Israel? If you de-Jew your Bible, you'll never know nothing. You'll have some preacher reinterpret the whole thing for you to apply to you. It's all about you. It's your love letter, please. God so loved the world. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why he said that. Just, I heard people say, take that, I put your name there. You better keep that word where it is. Put your name there. If you're going to put your name, you better put in parentheses. Don't be taking nothing out. God loved the world. People need to quit playing with this word and take the years and the time it takes to do it. Lord, thank you again for prayerfully opening up our understanding that speed is not an application that is fitting the Bible. It will only destroy our lives because it will destroy our understanding of who you are. Because if we apply speed to the Bible, we have to determine what's important and what's not. And all your word is important, whether we think so or not, is of no relevance. We're only displaying our gross ignorance. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for it. Thank you for allowing this insignificant human being the privilege of 32 years of studying, and most of them in preaching and teaching the word. Lord, you are so gracious to me. I can't even praise you enough, but I will keep praising you anyway. Thank you for such a rich treasure above everything in this life, Lord. Thank you for that. To get an email from a brother or a sister, all these different walks of life, it's the ultimate joy of life itself to know that somewhere, someone is being blessed, not because of me, but because of you and your word. Lord, may you be glorified. Bless the giving in Jesus' name. Amen.